We're going to learn Daf Chaf Gimel in Masechtos Nedarim. We're going to start from about the fifth or sixth line from the top. However, let's just talk about what's going on in the Gemara before we talk. The sugya that we're discussing is the idea of finding a Pesach for a neder. In other words, a person made a neder and he doesn't want to have to be obligated to keep the neder, so he comes to a Rav to be matarit, and the Rav doesn't want to rely simply on charata itself, so he finds a reason why, that if I had known that there was going to be this problem, I would never have made the neder. Let's just say, for argument's sake, I never would have made the neder in the first place. And that in and of itself is the reason why the Rav can be matar and say, okay, well, in that case, you don't have to keep the neder going forward. So far, the Gemara told us two stories. Very similar type of stories. One was the story with Rav Sechaira, that he came to Rav Yochanan, he came to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman couldn't find a heter until the point where Rav Nachman got frustrated with Rav Sechaira, and he said, well, the mere fact that you got frustrated is a new piece of information that I did not expect, and therefore that's enough to be matter. Then the Gemara tells a similar story that Rav Shimon bar Rebbe also had an eder. He came to the Rabbanon and he said, I want to be matarit. And once again, they asked him, did you think about this? And he said, yes. So they couldn't find a Pesach, they couldn't find a heter until because it took them so long to find a heter, they were going back and forth from the sun to the shade and the shade to the sun. That frustrated the Rabbanon. Once again, he said, oh, I never expected that my neder was going to cause frustration to the Rabbanon. That's a Pesach, that's something new. So therefore, I have a right to a heter, and that's the heter. The Gemara now tells a third story, and this is where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up from Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi. Again, it's 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 lines from the top. The Gemara is going to tell another very, very similar type of story with a little bit of a twist. So the Gemara says like this: Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi havelei nidra lemishra. Once again, he had a neder that he wanted to find a heter for. Also, the kamayu de Rabbanon. So he came to the Rabbanon to find him a heter. Omru le'ai. So they said, Nadaita adaita dehachi, is this what you had in mind? Did you realize this was going to be when you made the neder? Amar lahu in, yes. Nadaita adaita dehachi. So again, they asked him, what about this? Whatever it is that they thought about, amar lahu in. And he again said, yes, kamazim, and this happened multiple times. Once again, they could not find a heter for him because he contemplated all these type of questions at the time he made the neder, so he couldn't say, I didn't think about this and therefore I didn't mean the neder. He understood all those things. Okay.
Even bothering.
But now comes along, Kivin de Chazahu Katra, de Mitztari Rabbanon. So this person who happened to be a cleaner's, or a guy who washes clothing, came by and saw that he was bothering the Rabbanon back and forth, and the Rabbanon trying to find the heter, they couldn't find the heter. So he hit Rabbi Shmuel with his utensil that he uses to wash the clothing, either to drip. The different mafarshim say exactly what exactly this utensil was, but it was a metal utensil that was either used as migmar, which means that they scented the clothing through it, or they used to wash. They put the hot water in there, and they would drip the water on the clothing. In any event, it was this metal tool that was used for washing clothing, and he took that metal tool that he carried around with him, and he started hitting Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. So he started hitting him because he's getting the Rabbanon angry. Omar, so finally Rabbi Shmuel said, Adaita demachi le kitzra loinadri. I never had in mind that a cleaner would come by and start hitting me. So that was not something that I had contemplated, and therefore it's going to be, therefore I have something new that you could use as a Pesach for the heter of the neder. The Shari Lanafshe, and he was matar himself. Now once again, similar to the Gemara before, when it says Vashari Lanafshe, it doesn't mean that he was matar himself, because a person who makes the neder can't be matar for themselves. Rather, he found this heter that he was able to run to the Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon he's going to, they are able to be matar for his sake. So again, Similar type of story where because he got somebody frustrated, either Rabbanon or someone else that got angry on behalf of the Rabbanon, and that was not something you contemplate when you make an eder, so therefore it's going to be mutter. However, now the Gemara asks a very yesoidistic question, which is important to understand the entire sugya. So Amalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina. So Rav Acha asked Ravina, "Hai noilad hu?" So this is considered noila. This is considered something completely and entirely out of the realm of the neder. This is noilad. Obviously, comes from the word born. We use it. Let's say, for example, noilad. We use it in the context of yontif. For example, an egg that is hatched on yontif. That was something that didn't exist from beforehand. So that's something that could never have been part of the tanai of the neder in the first place. It never would have dawned on him that somebody who does cleaners is going to come and start hitting him. Vitanina, and we learned, so what's the problem? Okay, so right, it's a new thing. However, Vitanina, we learned in the Braisa, Ein Poitzchen Loi Benoilad, you cannot use something that's entirely new, that was never contemplated, as an excuse to be Mater and Neder. This is a completely new set of facts that were not contemplated at all, and never could have been contemplated by a Neder. So, the Gemara answers, and we'll explain what the nuance of this in a moment. Amar le, hai lav noilad hu. This is not considered noilad. Deshchichi apikori dimitsari rabbonon. It is frequent, it is often, that apikoris, now it's a machlekes also, of course, rishonim and achronim, whether the word apikori over here means literally an apikoris, or it means somebody who just gets frustrated with the rabbonon. But the point is that there, it is not unusual for somebody to get the rabbonon angry with them. So therefore, when a person makes an eder, not that he thought about this, that's the whole point. The point is he didn't think about this, and that's why they're able to find an eder. But it is something that theoretically it could cross your mind that could happen. And therefore, it's something, again, not normal, it's not the regular thing that would happen, but it is something that is not out of the possibility of, within the realm of reality, that you might consider, you know, this might happen. And therefore, that's considered noilad. Noilad, meaning in this Gemara, is talking about an instance where it is so far out of there that there's no way anybody could have predicted that this is going to happen. And therefore, this is a whole new circumstance which was not part of your neder in the first place, and therefore can't be used to be mater neder. So again, it's a very subtle difference. The difference between not realizing it and at the time you made your neder versus not possible to predict it, that's two different things. So when it's not possible to predict, there's a million scenarios that could happen. Nobody can predict what's going to happen in the world. But there are certain things that are expectations. The market's going to go up, the market's going to go down. I can predict that it will happen. Now, I might not know exactly when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen, but I know that that's what's going to happen. So that's something, that's not noilad. Because I can predict that something, I don't know whether it's going to happen, but I can predict that it's technical, that it's theoretically going to happen. Whereas when it comes to something which is so out of the realm of normal that's considered noilad, and that's not something that you can give as a Pesach. So that is the sugya over here. That is the synopsis of the sugya. If somebody comes to, so let me just add specifically when it comes to the Rabbanon getting angry, apparently that was something, as you see, there are three stories over here. That is something that is not uncommon to happen, that people do things that get the Rabbana frustrated. And, you know, we can all imagine in today's environment as well, that happens all the time. People do things that get the Rabbana frustrated. Otherwise, they wouldn't have good Shabbos HaGadol drushes. So that idea of getting the Rabbana angry is, even though I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's something that theoretically I could have contemplated by the neder. It's not at the time I made the neder, even though I didn't think about it. So that's what makes it a Pesach. That's what makes it something new. But it doesn't make it that it's not something that I could never, nobody would have ever contemplated and predicted such a thing. Okay, but we're not finished with sugi. The Gemara has one more interesting story.
Hold on.
Abaya, Habale Hahibarto. Abaya's wife had a daughter. Now, this is an interesting diuk that I saw that the Meiri points out, that it was not Abaya's daughter. It was his wife's daughter.
Yeah.
Right. It was, wasn't her, it wasn't his child. It was his wife's daughter. Anyway, who Omer Lekrevoi, he says, I want to marry her off to my relatives. He Amra Lekrevoi, and she says, I want to marry her off to my relatives. So they had a little bickering over here, who she should marry. Amar Lo, so Abaya said to his wife, Titzara Hanoasi Alech, giving you Hanoah should be usur on you. I avarta adaitoi, if you go against my will, umintzavas lo lekrevech, and marry her off to your relatives. Okay, Ozla, the mother went, va'avart al daite, and Shitaka didn't listen, v'intzava lekrevo, and she married off her daughter to her relatives. Okay, so in other words, she did exactly what Abaya told her not to do, and did exactly what constitutes the neder of Abaya. He said, if you do this, you're going to be usur b'hanoa, and she did it. Now, by the way, just as an aside, a very important point, obviously a mother can't marry off her daughter. There's no halachic status for that. And similarly, Abaya also, since he wasn't the father, he couldn't marry off the daughter either. This was just a question of who was going to have more influence on the daughter to impress upon her to marry this person or marry the other person.
I understood the story that not actually...
Now the neder is chal. Now the neder is chal, specifically exactly what Abaya said not to do. Abaya said, don't marry her off to your relative. And she did. She did whatever it takes to marry off. So, but of course, now the problem is that now Abaya is also to his wife, and we can't have that. So also the comment to Rabbi Yosef, so they came to Rabbi Yosef, who happened to be Abaya's Rebbe. Omar le, ilu havi yadas, avarta al daitech, if you would have known that she wasn't going to listen to you, uminsibol of the krevo, and was going to marry the daughter off to her relative, miyadarta, would you have made the neder in that case? Omar loy, bisharya. So he said, no, of course I never would have made the neder. I never expected that she was actually going to go against my command, and therefore that was an other. Okay, I keep on getting disconnected down here.
By the way, what kind of thing is that to buy his first wife, or probably his second wife also?
Well, I would imagine, because she had her own kids.
No, but it could theoretically be his first wife.
Okay, what are they up to upstairs?
They're
up to Chazar Shatz yet?
Probably.
What?
Probably around...
They started by
5:10 to 9. Okay, because my phone's not working down here. So long.
Keep the door open.
What?
Keep the door open, please.
All right,
keep the door open. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Cream cheese,
but can't hurt.
Let's go upstairs and
we'll handle
what they're doing.
Really not done.
Go.
I walked, but they're really not done.
I know, so we'll wait 2 minutes. But I can't connect down here. Half the guys are on the phone, so
I'll
have to go.
Hop.
Yeah. It's not working.
Star now.
Otherwise,
please wait, and you will be joined into the conference. Please enter your... Thank you. There are 2 participants in the conference. Please announce yourself.
Hey. Hold on 1 second. I'm trying to find a place where we don't get constantly disconnected. We'll go to the base medrash and we'll just have background noise. What? Yeah? It's not going to take. I don't care about Chazar Sashat, so I can give a share drink. What? Alright, so let's go to the later section. We'll give a share on the later section. And they'll just have to listen. What? Well, Akiva's in there, so if Akiva's there, we'll knock until he lets us in. Sorry, my phone used to work down there. I don't know why it doesn't work down there anymore. Okay. What? It's okay. What? You can get it in here. Yeah. There's still a consensus. That's right. We won't bother anybody. This way we can sit down. Okay. Yeah, just take a chair and turn it around. That's okay. Okay, you ready? A little mysterious message over here. Okay, fine. Where did I lose you? What was I up to? Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was I up to over here?
I think how do we know that you can? Yeah,
right.
If you knew that she would say no, you wouldn't have made the nether.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. So therefore, Vasharya. So Rav Yosef was mater Abaya because that was not something that, again, he never predicted that that she was actually going to go against what he had to say. Exactly. Oh, so exactly. You're raising a point. So if so, it should be no right. So then the Gemara continues and says like this. Shari Rabbi Yosef. Okay. So then the Gemara says, "Mi shari ki aygavna." Do we allow that type of unexpected breach of the neder to be considered a pesach and to be matur the neder? Gemara says, "In yes, v'hatanya." We even have a brisa that says it's nice about Adam Echod. There was a story with a particular person. Shahider es ishto milalois leregel. They told his wife, "I don't want you being oil regel. I don't want you going to Yerushalayim." V'avral daita, and she didn't listen to him. V'also leregel, and she went. She did exactly what he told her not to do. Ubalafnei Rabbi Yosi, and they came to Rabbi Yosi. Amar loy. And they said to him, "The ilu have ha'isu yadash ayveres al daitcha. If you would have known that she wasn't going to listen, ba'ilu l'regel and go up to Yerushalayim, klum adarta, would you have made this nether?" Amar loy loy. He said, "No." The hetira Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi again was matur. So this is basically the same thing. The balance in a price that says that when I make a nether, the point of the nether is just so that you should take me seriously, and you don't listen. It's not that I expected the nether to go into effect. It's just it was never really contemplated that this nether should go into effect. So Maman of Shach, either the nether is there so she'll take me seriously and won't do it, or if you don't take me seriously, well then I don't really want the nether to go into effect, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Just an aside point, just so the Rishonim point out, or the Achronim point out really, that when this story happened in this Braisa, in the times of Rabbi Yosi, the Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed. So the question is, what was the Oila Regal that we're talking about over here? Because there was no Beis HaMikdash. So it's very interesting to see there were various terutzim. Either there was a minik to go up to Yerushalayim, even without the Beis HaMikdash. There are those that say that we're really talking about that they even, because according to the Rambam, it's permissible to bring a korban even bizman hazeh without a Beis HaMikdash. The Mokam HaMikdash is still Kadosh. And she was being Oila Regal. She was being Oila Regal. Now you can understand why the husband was saying, "I don't want you doing this because this is not something that everybody does." So he was telling her not to go, but she went anyway. She wanted to fulfill that minute. Okay. Now at the end of the sugya, there's a big run over here that just goes through the idea of how are you matir a neder, and he brings a machlokes rishonim about who has the authority to be matir neder. We know that you can go to a bezin. You can go to a bezin of three, and this is part of the machlokes rishonim over here. Includes there's two categories. One is when you go to a chacham, and the chacham by himself is able to be matir the neder, and another is when you go to a bezin of three, and the bezin of three is matir the neder. So the question, it's really just two different levels. The Ran brings that the that the first shita that the Ran brings is that the chacham that we're talking about that's able to be matir by himself is actually a samuch, somebody who actually has smicha. And I'm not talking about the smicha of nowadays. I'm talking about the smicha in the times of the Gemara, which means that there was a Kabbalah directly, Rebbe to Rebbe, that was able to, from Moshe Rabbeinu directly, that was a level of smicha. So according to that first shita, what you need is, you need a chacham by himself has to have smicha, and if you don't have somebody who has smicha, then you need three people in the Beis Din, and at least one of the people in the Beis Din has to know, sort of, to put it simply, has to know Hilchus Nedarim, has to understand and know what's going on in Hilchus Nedarim. That's the first shita. The Ran also brings another shita that sort of lowers it one level, one notch lower, which is no. Even the chacham that we're talking about is not somebody with smicha, because that's actually a very high level, and then it would not be relevant in today's society. But rather, the chacham we're talking about is a chacham who knows halacha, who knows hilchus nedarim, which means that that when we're talking about three people, we're talking about three people who don't even know halacha. That means, again, if you're taking everything down a level, so the chacham by himself, he doesn't even need somebody else just because he knows the halachos. And then the three is talking about that none of them actually know the halachos, but at least one of them, now we do say that one of them has to be a chacham. What we mean over there is that at least one of them, if you were to explain to him the nuances of the halacha, he would get it. That's all you need, but he doesn't have to actually come with the information before he sits down in the Beis Din. As long as he's somebody who could understand it, then he and two other guys, who by the way, based on that, don't even understand what's going on, well they can just sit there and be part of the Beis Din, and that would be good enough. That would be the Shitas HaRambam. So it's a Machlokes Rishonim, Lamaisa LaHalacha, whether the three people in Beis Din needs a Chacham, and again, a Chacham by himself, what the level of chacham would be in order to be matir by himself. So that is the big Ran on the bottom of the Amud as we finish off the sugya over here. Okay, that takes us now to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah, well, let's just, for argument's sake, say it's a continuation of the Mishnah before, as we'll see in the Gemara. But let's read the Mishnah by itself for a moment. Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elozer says, Af haroitzu lahadir es chaveiroi sheyoichol etzloi, somebody who wants to make a neder that a person should come eat by him. Right? We've had this case many times. That seems to be like the classic example of you want somebody to come eat by you, you make a neder and you say, you better eat by me, and if you don't eat by me, I'm going to make you aser. So what should you say? Yoimar, now the Aleph, the Hagai Zabach takes out the word loy, because that's really the discussion in the Gemara over here. So we're going to leave out the word loy. Yoimar, he should say, kol neder sha'ani osed lidor, any neder that I'm going to make in the future, hu batal. It should be batal. Okay? So therefore, even though I'm saying to my friend, I'm making a neder that you better come or else, but if I say beforehand, by the way, I'm about to make a neder, that neder shouldn't count, and then you make the neder, so that doesn't, it's batal. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah adds on one more sentence, ubuvad shiyed zocher b'shaas ha-neder. As long as you remember at the time of the neder that you made this, you preempted by being mevatel the neders, the nedarim in the future, so then even if you make the neder now, it's not going to be chal. So again, just to repeat, the simple halacha that Rabbi Elazar was talking about is I said to you, a neder, you if you don't come to my house, you should be aser, and I didn't really want the neder to be chal, so I said, any neder that I'm going to make in the future shouldn't be chal, and I have to remember that at the time I made the neder. Those are the three, but I'm going to say the three statements, the three halachas in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah seems to put them together. So, if they're all put together, the Gemara asks the following question, right? The last line of the Gemara on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Kivan de Omar kol neder sha'ani osid. Sha'ani. Right? Sha'ani osid. Lidor yehe batol. If I say out loud to the person that I'm talking to that the neder that I'm going to make in the future should not count, lo shamalei v'loy osi b'hadei, so he's not going to listen. He's not going to come with him. What would be the point of me coming to even listening to your neder if before you even said the neder you already said what I'm about to say is meaningless? But here goes, and I say what I say. So of course no one's going to listen to that. So what would be the point of even saying that I want to be matter. I want to create a nether that you have to come to my house. So that cannot be the case of the Mishnah. It doesn't make any sense that would even be the recommended as the case of the Mishnah. So now, right at the top of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara comes up with the Chiddush. Now we've seen this concept before, where the Gemara says Chesure Mechzer of a Hachi Ketani, right? So the Gemara, so it's missing words, and the way to read the words is the following. The way to read the words of the Mishnah is like this. Somebody who wants that his friend should eat by him. And you're constantly going over and asking him over and over again. And you make a neder that he should come, and if he doesn't come, a neder should be chal. Nidre zeruzin hu. That is a neder of somebody who's being mizaris. Again, similar to what we said in the previous Mishnah. That's why I said that this Mishnah is really technically a continuation of the Mishnah before. It's just as Zeris. I'm pushing you, I'm motivating you to get you to do it, but I don't really expect that it should be a neder. I'm using the words of a neder in order to get you to take me seriously and to listen. But it's not actually intended to be an effective neder. That's the first line of the Mishnah. Now, you have to add in, this is what we mean when we say chsuri mechsura, that there are words missing from the Mishnah that you have to add in the following words. V'haroitza shelo yiskayim nidrov kol hashono, and a person who wants that throughout the entire year, whatever neder he should make, that I don't want the neder to be chal, yamed v'rosh hashono, you should start at the beginning of the year in Rosh Hashanah v'yomer, and you should say kol neder shani osid lidar, any neder that I'm going to make in the future, yehi bottle, it should be bottle. So I'm preempting on all my nedarim in the future. And then based on that, so for now, the Gemara is going to put this together. As long as you remember at the time you make the neder, that your intention is that it should not be a neder. So even if you say the words of "I want it to be a neder," it's not going to be chal as a neder because you already took care of it erev Rosh Hashanah when you said "I don't want it to be a neder." Okay, and you remember at the time you made the neder, so therefore the neder is not going to be chal. Now, I just want to point out a couple of interesting things and interesting simple questions. That first of all, this chesure mechzura that we're talking about, as we're going to continue and conclude the Gemara over here, is different than all other chesure mechzuras in all of Shas, in the sense that, just again, if you're into this, it's very interesting. Usually a chesure mechzura is there are clearly words missing from the Mishnah. The Mishnah cannot be read the way it is because it just doesn't make sense. Because again, as we pointed out in the beginning of the Gemara, I can't say I'm not making a neder and here's my neder. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously, there's two things going on. What's unique about this chesure mechzura is that usually when we say this, we say it as one long story, but there's a piece to the story that's missing. That's usually the typical chesure mechzura. Over here, the chesure mechzura is that we're missing the fact that we switched to an entirely different halacha. Halacha number one is that I can go and be mezareis my friend, and I can motivate him to come to my house. That's halacha number one. It has nothing to do with the next sentence. The next sentence is saying on Rosh Hashanah I could say kol nidre and be mevatel all my nedarim in the future. The next halacha, because of this chesure mechzura, is coming to tell us a completely and entirely new halacha that had nothing to do with the first halacha. So again, this is unique in Shas. Again, based on I couldn't tell you this on my own, but based on the mepharshim that I saw, they say, excuse me, that this chesure mechzura is different and unique in the sense that it's telling us that the Mishnah is now adding is changing topics to a new halacha. That's one very interesting point to point out over here. The other thing is, back on Amud Aleph, when the Gemara asked the question, there's a very obvious answer. If I say, what I'm going to say is not going to be a neder, and then I say, and here's my neder, of course no one's going to listen to me. So why don't we just say that he says it quietly. The whole problem is that the person listening to me make the neder is not going to listen to me because I just said it's not a serious neder. So just don't say it loud enough for him to hear. So this is a very obvious question. So the Ron gives I'd say one tara. It's really two terutz in the Ran gives, but they're basically the same thing. He says because it just doesn't fit into the case of the Mishnah. That's clearly not the case of the Mishnah, because in conclusion, the Gemara's answer is that this is just a ziruz ba'alma, that we're just trying to motivate the person. We never meant it to be a real nether in the first place. If the case was that he said it quietly without the person hearing, then the Gemara wouldn't have had to answer the way it answered. So that obviously is not the case. Okay? So that's the way so the Ran answers this question by answering it as a technical matter. It just doesn't work in the case of the Mishnah. But what would that would mean lahalacha, according to the Ran, that if I did say it quietly, the Ran is just saying that can't be the case of our Mishnah. But that means that if I, as a practical matter, would whisper to myself and say that I don't want the neder to be chal, and then I go ahead and make the neder, so it's takana chal. That's what would come out according to the way the Ran answers this kasha. However, many Rishonim argue on the Ran and say that's not true, because I can't go ahead whispering, because then it's considered, the other Rishonim say, it's Dvarim Shebelev. Dvarim Shebelev, so that means that any time I make a neder, I could always in my mind say, oh, in my mind I didn't really mean it to be a neder. So then whatever you say in the rest of your life is meaningless, because you could always say, well, I never really wanted a promise because I never wanted to obligate myself to do anything ever. So obviously some Rishonim take it even further and say you have to say it out loud that other people should hear it. Some Rishonim just say I have to say it out loud that at least I can hear it. Okay, so then there are different levels of how out loud I have to say it. But everybody agrees, again, not everybody, other than the Ran, everybody agrees that I have to at least say it out loud that somebody can hear me say it. And I can't just, and that's why whispering it would not help. That is meaningless if I whisper it. So again, the Ran says whispering would have worked, it just doesn't work in this Mishnah. The other Rishonim say, no, whispering doesn't even work. I'd have to actually say it out loud in order for it to work. In any event. Okay, those are just some interesting points about the case of about the way the Gemara is, the flow of this Gemara. But let's go back. Let's take it back to where we are in the Gemara. So we learned that we're now introducing a new halacha. This idea, this concept that I could preempt on Rosh Hashanah. We do it in Erev Rosh Hashanah. We do Hataras Nedarim, but we do this idea of preempting and saying any nether that I'm going to make in the future, it should not be a nether. And then throughout the year, as I make Nedarim, they're not going to count because I already preempted. Now the Mishnah does add, as long as I remember that I don't want the nether to be chal. Now, that line actually creates a problem. So the Gemara then says, this is where we're up to in the Gemara. I zocher, if I knew at the time I'm making the nether now, let's say in April, by April 1st I'm making this nether. If I remembered in April that I already said in Rosh Hashanah that whatever I'm going to say doesn't count, that means akrei l'tanai, then I really no longer want that kol nidrei to count anymore. That Hataras Nedarim count. Because if I know that the nether doesn't count, then why am I this is the way the Ran learns. Then why am I bothering to say what I'm gonna say? If I know that what I'm saying is meaningless, and again, assuming that people don't say things that are silly and useless, people say things that have meaning to them, so then why would I make a nether if I know that that nether has no emphasis, has no strength to it whatsoever? It must be that I know that I made this Hataras Nedarim, and even so, I'm saying I'm making this nether because I don't want that Hataras Nedarim to be chal, because otherwise why would I be making the nether? So the Gemara is saying, it comes out just the opposite. If I remember that I said my Nedarim are useless, so I'll agree with tonight, then I got rid of that tonight, I got rid of that original agreement, the kain leila nidre, and now I want the nether to actually be chal. So it comes out that the fact that I remember the opposite of what we would have read the Mishnah. When we originally read the Mishnah, we said, "Oh, if you remember that you made this akira, if you made this tonight, then it works." Now it comes out that it's just the opposite. If I remember that I made this akira, then the nether is not chal because then the nether is chal because obviously I wanted to make it the opposite of that hataras nedar. So we're going to have two terus into this kasha. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, Tani, the way to read it is, Ubilvad Shaloyehe Zocher Bishas HaNeder. Enochanami. So Abaya says, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. You have to change the girsa of the Mishnah. excuse me, and you have to say that the case is actually I didn't remember that I made the Hataras Nadarim. And that's why when I got to this point, I made the Neder, I didn't think about the fact that what I'm saying is useless, and I really did mean it to be a Neder. And Anach Hanami, it works. And you're right, if, and then the Hataras Nadarim, because I forgot about it, now the Hataras Nadarim kicks in and says, okay, this is what I was here for. It's like your tetanus shot that you take before anything happens. Right now it kicks in to protect you. So I didn't remember that I made this Hataras Nadarim. I went ahead and made the Nadarim, and then I said, oh right, now I remember that I have the Hataras Nadarim. But if I remembered at the time I was making the Neder that my Neder isn't going to be Chal, and I still went ahead and made the Neder, according to Abaya, then it is going to be, then I really mean the Neder to be Chal. So it's like a double, triple negative over here, according to the way Abaya learns. Now, Rovo, which is usually the case over here, very often in Shas, Abaya changes the gears of the Gemara in order for the Pshat to work, and Rava comes along and says to Abaya, what do you mean? That's not what the words in the Mishnah say. And how, so you, that's not what the Mishnah says, you have to come up with the Pshat that works. Rava, Omar, Lo'olam Kedamina Meikar. No. Really, let's go back to the way the Mishnah actually says it, and we're gonna come up with the Pshat. Now, I do want to point out that the Rishonim say that Rava in this case is not actually arguing on Abaya. He agrees with Abaya. He just feels that that's not the point that the Mishnah is making. This doesn't work. This doesn't work in the words of the Mishnah. But the halacha that Abaya said is actually correct. But he gives a different shot. He says, let's fit it into the words of the Mishnah. Halacha b'mayaskino, and the case over here is, kegoin shehisne b'Rosh Hashanah, that you made a tnai on Rosh Hashanah, the loyoda b'mayaskino, and you don't remember what exactly was your condition. And I'll explain this in a moment. The hashta kon nodar, and now you're making the neder, and you don't remember what it was that you said, and you don't remember all exactly what you said at the on let's call it Rosh Hashanah. Izochu b'shas haneder. If you remember what it was that you made the neder on, so v'omer al das rishonah ani noider. So and then you say, oh yeah, it was on this object. So then nidre les be mashasha mamasha. Then the neder doesn't have any standing to it. But if he doesn't say I'm relying on what I originally said, so then I'm not relying on that at all. The kayim lenidre, and the neder itself is going to be chal. Now let me explain. According to the Ran, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. In order to, as you recall, every time you make a neder, what is a neder? By definition, it's not a shvuah. A shvuah is a promise that I'm not going to do something. A neder is saying, if I do this object, if I do this act, this object, or whatever, a certain object is going to become usur. That's the way a neder works, that you're assuring something. Either, you know, like we had an Amud Aleph, a guy's assuring his wife, the Hanoah, whatever it is, but you can assur, the examples that the Ran gives is either I can assur bread, or I can assur wine. And I say, if I do this object, if I do this act, let's say, then the wine should be usher. Now, so when we say that he either remembered or does not remember what we're talking about, he doesn't remember what happened on Rosh Hashanah, what we mean to say is, he doesn't remember whether he ushered wine or he ushered bread. That's what he doesn't remember what his condition to the neder was. So, let's just say for argument's sake, I'll make the point and say like this. Let's say he really did pick wine. On Erev Rosh Hashanah he said, anytime I make a neder about wine, the neder shouldn't be chal. And now, on April 1st, I'm saying, I want to make a neder based on bread. So now, that neder should be chal. Because that's not what I originally said on Rosh Hashanah to be oiker. And that's what we're talking about if he remembers or doesn't remember. The remembering and not remembering is what was the object that we use in order to be matter, what object was used about the nedarim that are not going to be chal. But Anachanami, if the neder is going to be chal, if the neder is going to be chal, then we want, if I make the neder today on exactly the object that I originally made on Rosh Hashanah, so then Anachanami, my neder of course today is not going to be chal. That's exactly the point. Because I said all bread nedarim aren't going to be chal, and now I'm making a bread neder, so it's not going to be chal. So that's what it means. If you remember what my original neder was in the first place. Just hold on a second. The nuance is that it's not that when you're matter the neder on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you think to yourself, I'm going to be matter this particular neder, because obviously you can't know that. You have no idea what your neder is going to be in 6 months from now. But you have to know what the basis, what the subject of your neder is, meaning the bread or the wine that you're going to aser as a result of your neder. That's what you have to remember, that you're being matir. And then you could be matirit. So, and then itaka works as a protection from any neder that you're going to say in the future. But if on Erev Rosh Hashanah you don't remember, if on Erev Rosh Hashanah you picked one item and today I'm aser and making a neder on something completely different, so then your Erev Rosh Hashanah heter doesn't protect you over here. Because that's not what the Erev Rosh Hashanah heter was intended to protect. And the neder is going to be chal. That is Rava's point. So you have to remember what it is that you used as the base for your neder. That's how Rava learns the sugya. So then the Gemara now adds one more thing. The Gemara says, where are we up to? Rav Huna bar Chanina Sovar Lemidrashay Bepirko. So he wanted to, this is Rava and Abaya, Rava had such a beautiful Chiddush, he wanted to go out and darshan this so everybody should know. Amalei Rava, so Rava said to him, Tana kam mastim la stumi. Our Tana purposely said this in a way where it was not clear. So that people shouldn't take Nadarm, so people shouldn't make nedarim not serious. But you're going to publicize it so that everybody should know about it. That was the whole point of the Mishnah, as the Ran explains, that the whole point of the Mishnah to write it in a way where the chesurei mechsura was so that people should not chap, should not get. Like if you learn it and you understand it, if you're a Talmud Chacham, so now you understand exactly what the point of the Mishnah is, you're going to get it. But if you don't delve into the meaning of the Mishnah, you're not going to get it. Which means that the Mishnah purposely wrote it in a way that most people, the average person, is not going to know this point. Why? So that he should always take his Nadarim seriously. Okay, that was what Rava says. People shouldn't know about this. Now, we of course know that we have the minig, the Ran does bring that, we have the minig to say Kol Nidre, and we do Ataras Nadarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So it's interesting, the Ran does bring two shitas that say that Ataras Nadarim does not work for Amaratzim, according to one shita, but that's obviously not how we're noyig. The other point that the Ran wants to point out is that Ataras Nadarim, it's interesting because in the Lashon of Kol Nidre that we have, we make it this Haratna, makes it sound like even the Nedarim that I already made last year, I want to be Matar now. The Ran holds, again, other Rishonim may argue, but the Ran holds that doesn't work. It's a Machlekes, but Kol Nidre is only meant in the future as a preempt so that before I even make the neder, by the time I make the neder, it doesn't count. Or it's meant to even count for the nedarim that I made in the past. So again, the Ran is of the opinion that Kol Nidre does not work for past year. It only works for the future. But I see this, the idea of Kol Nidre is already, you know, from the time of the Rishonim, they already had this idea of Kol Nidre.